All of this pertains to life and needs to change you inside to be different outside. This is why we come here to this time. This is formation. And the scripture says, many will rejoice. Then he says this, which is peculiar, and I don't know if you really think about this hard. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Why does scripture here say that he must not drink wine or strong drink? Right? I am not preaching a teetotaling sermon on this sermon. But why does God say, if he's going to be what I've called him to be, he must not? What does wine and strong drink do? In scripture, it's also gladness, right? Jesus takes the drunk people and gives them the best wine that they've had all night at the wedding at Cana. You know, I don't say that scripture says, go on, drink a bunch. I can't. It's impossible to say that, because the scripture actually says, look carefully how you walk in Ephesians chapter 5. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Anybody been sung to this week? I've been singing a little bit. Not because I'm showing off, because I knew I had to preach this to you and I needed evidence. Yeah? Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you speak to God the Father? Right? Some other faith traditions, they'll actually go to Jesus' mom. She's more understanding. You know, they'll say, Mary, I don't know, could you please tell your son for me? I don't want to go talk to him because he's got scary eyes in the painting that I keep in my hallway with the blue sash and the Swedish hair. Mary, could you please talk to your son for me, right? And then some people say, Jesus, I know that you are the New Testament warm and cuddly God. Would you go and deal with your wrathful, angry father and tell him not to smite me, please, right? But that's not it. Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, I hear you love me and sent your Son. Father, I have told them who you are. I've shown you to them. They love you. I'm not telling you that I will ask on your behalf. You have a Father in heaven. Do you pray to him when you pray? Because you're not righteous like Elizabeth and Zechariah, but because Christ is our righteousness, our sin on the cross, buried, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the image of God walking around, we are being renewed in his image, righteousness. Can you stand before God as if you were righteous? Can you, knowing that you're not righteous, stand before God anyway and say, hi, I'm only here because your son said it was cool. Are we good? And God goes, yeah, no, that was the deal. That was the deal. In him, I look at you, I see him growing in you. Come forward, I lift my scepter. You will not die in my presence, Esther. Yeah. This is the doctrine. This is the Christian doctrine of Scripture. I'm just drawing upon in this sermon the things that I know from reading the Bible. Are these ideas new to you? Because you can find it in the Bible. These are all true things that I've said. You listen to the recording, you'll find the things that I'm saying in Scripture. Aside from the dumb Fraser jokes, which my kids have been discounting those for years. You have to just up your game. But here's the Lord. And he says, don't get drunk, be filled with the Spirit. And God says, that guy, he's going to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Nothing he's done will justify being filled with the Spirit. He's not going to be filled with the Spirit because he made a proclamation of faith and was baptized. I'll fill him with the Spirit from his mother's womb. I'll decide between Jacob and Esau from their mother's womb before they've done anything. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. What does God see down the line from us? Nobody knows. What makes the person next to you good and the person two seats behind you bad? Nobody knows. God knows. But they knew that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous because of how they lived. And they're going to see John the Baptist, and you know what? He's never going to be faced walking through town saying dumb things about the government. You're going to set him apart, and he's going to stand for me from the womb. God cares about his witness and testimony. And why? What's John the Baptist's job? Does anybody know what John the Baptist's job was? Was it to baptize Jesus? Well, actually, look at what it says in verse 16 of Luke chapter 1. Here's John the Baptist's job. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Don't look at me, look at Jesus. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Do you recognize that? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Yeah. So that is actually significant where it says, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That is actually the last line of the Old Testament. Did you know that? If you peeked in your Bible and you just did a little pinch, like a quarter of an inch, to Malachi, which is not the Italian prophet Malachi, but is in fact Malachi, right? And just at the last words in chapter 4, Malachi writes something, and God wants us to know this. Starting at verse 5 of Malachi chapter 4, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." The great and awesome day of the Lord is coming. "And he will turn the hearts of the father to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." So, do you see that? This is really important. And I'll tell you why. This is the link of the New Testament story to the Old Testament. And so you turn a page and you go, old, new. Oh, I'm in the new. I think I'll go back to the old. And it's just a page. But it's 435 years that nobody ain't heard nothing from God. Bad grammar to make a point. It has been silent. They've been going in and doing the thing and with the blood on the sacrifice and out every year for 435 years of no prophetic utterance. I guess that's collected in the Bible. I mean, you have the deuterocanonical writings, which the Jewish people themselves don't agree is actually scripture, the stuff that was written during the Greek-speaking time of the reign of Alexander the Great. You do have people and living out history, and of course things were happening. We don't have it in scripture here recorded for us to look at. We don't have it referred to by the people in Jesus' day or by the early church fathers. You have lots of stuff that are written, but nothing that was deemed worth putting into the scripture. Do you want to blame King James for that? So actually, we would have more Bible if it weren't for that guy. You know, it was a room full of scholars, but he paid the bill. Maybe that's why it was like that. But there are Bibles before James. And there are Bibles since James, and there are theology departments of universities all around. And these days, in these last 200 years, they would like a lot more books in there. But you've got this, so I'm going to stick on that, okay? So despite if what I'm beginning to say trips theological triggers, you got to suck it up and just realize that in the Bible here, it goes from Malachi to the New Testament. And that the first time recorded in scripture that they're speaking about God doing what he's doing, they refer to the last time God said what he was going to do, and that this is a fulfillment of that. This is a fulfillment of that prophecy. And the angel shows up and he goes, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then Zechariah, the studious Zechariah, goes, Malachi, it's happening. And in this scripture, we tell you, guys, it's Christmas. It's happening. Again this year, but has anything happened in 2,000 years? Did Jesus come back yet? No. But when he does, will you be ready? Will you be there like Zechariah was there in just the right place at the right time where an angel come and said, this is it. God's doing it. And will you be righteous? And will you be prayerful? And will you be ready? And will you be listening this season for what God's doing about this Christ coming to life, bringing life to people who are dead in their sins? Because as a Baptist, I believe that it's the responsibility of the believer to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings life and salvation to others. I don't believe that because I'm a Baptist. They tell me that because I believe that, among three other things, that I'm a Baptist. When I came here to preach to you, Alva Baptist Church, and in the back room, they said, "Are you a Baptist?" I did this. Excuse me. Yes. Yes, I am a Baptist. Because everything that the Baptist Declaration of Faith says, I believe. So I'm a Baptist. I've also been at meetings, in a church meeting, where I've been told straight up with a straight face, without any insult intended, "Yeah, but you're not a Baptist, are you?" And what that meant was that culturally, all that we stand for in Scotland, the way that we've done it all these years, you're not doing it that way. And I had to say thank you. I had to say thank you for noticing that. Yeah, I'm not some historic picture of the way it used to get done. I'm not some 435 years of doing it and doing it and doing it guy. I'm a man who trusts the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. And I fear God because I wouldn't want to be outside of God. Who would want to be outside of the spaceship without oxygen? That's healthy fear. God's not going to whack me with a stick. He just is where He is. I can be there if I want to be. And if I'm not, it's horrible. And Jesus speaks to it. And this Christmas, it's wonderful. Why is it wonderful? Because you don't have to be horrible. It's wonderful because horrible doesn't wait for you. And there's a world full of people riding the current toward horrible. And we get to be wonderful in their lives and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus.